From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams with you, and I'm joined in studio by John Jones and Chance Butts. They are with the LifeQuest USA in Albuquerque. John is a frequent contributor to our program, and Chance, I'm prayerful, is going to become a frequent contributor, and this is his first time on the show. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to start because we had a very joyful occasion at Calvary Church this morning. We were a celebration of life for Chip Lusco, who has gone to be with the Lord and has been the general manager and one of our great, you know, mentors ever of this radio station, been involved in the ministry at Calvary Church for over 40 plus years. And he's just an amazing guy. And I say this church, Calvary Albuquerque, is about 40 years old, but Chip is involved with Calvary in California. So it's been a long time. And I wanted to start by bringing that up because we just had a celebration of life. And I was thinking today about our show, John. And LifeQuest USA works with incarcerated youth, and actually more so kids that maybe have a risk of becoming incarcerated, and you're doing a lot more work, and I'm going to let you do the details about that. But here's the thing I thought about today. The funeral and celebration for Chip Lusco today was really reminding all of us of the family that we have in Christ. I mean, we had 1,500 people here, and I can't help but think about the children, the young people that you're both going to be working with and have been working with. They may not have experienced family before.
Oh, they've experienced family, just not in the way we're talking about it. Yeah. Family can be good. Family can be bad.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. And that's what part of our training with our volunteers is explaining to them, look, you can't bring your middle-class white values into contact with these kids and expect them to understand, because it's probably not their experience. Mm-hmm. It's probably not what they've been through. How everybody's like, oh, how could they do that? And it's like, well, if you grow up in a family where mom and dad are slinging drugs, if there's even a dad anywhere to be found, where gangbanging's a normal part of life, where carrying a gun at 12 years old is the norm, if that's what you see growing up, that's what you know, and that's what you're going to become. So that's why social service is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But these kids need a new family. They need a heart transplant. And the only thing that's going to change their lives is Jesus. That's a fact.
That's right.
And that's what we stay focused on. We do a lot of things with the kids, but ultimately it always comes back to introducing them to Jesus, walking with them, loving them, continuing to point them to Jesus.
And inviting them to a family.
Absolutely.
That's going to love them.
Absolutely.
And that family, I can't help but think, and I've been a Christian for a long time and have been unloving more times than I like to think. And I read, you know, when I read the writings of Paul, how many times does he call each of his churches to love mm-hmm. one another?
Absolutely.
And that was the experience I had this morning. Not sure why it's so important to me as we start the show, but I think that you are inviting people to become part of the Christian family. And what you said earlier about not imposing you were raised in the Northeast Heights of Albuquerque and you haven't been around people of color. Right. Maybe you've been in the different parts of Albuquerque and you've only been around people of color. So you mm-hmm. don't know anything about people who are not. So we don't know about each other's colors, but we're supposed to love one another regardless.
But with the common thread there, regardless of, you know, race, religion, sex, any of that stuff, is Jesus bridges that gap. And so coming into a family and finding a family, it changes everything. Like, we can tell kids, you're more than the things that have happened to you.
Yeah.
You're not unworthy. God still loves you. And they don't know what to do with that at first. And then we show that by showing up, right? And then not only do they experience what family could be, they start to learn that they can have a family. Like, they can be a father, and not maybe what they were shown, but a different, like a good father, a loving father. They can let go of the things. And it's not like we work with the kids and introduce them to the greatest thing we have. And it doesn't stop with them. Like, their kids, and then their kids, and then their kids. So what we, like, all the things that they were given stops with them, but what they carry forward is something amazing. Hopefully. That's the hope, is that we can introduce them to a new way to see the world and Christ and love and hope and grace and mercy.
And that is one of the things that was fun about the funeral today, is that Chip Lesko loved to have fun. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are taking kids, you're training them how to hike the Grand Canyon.
Wow. Right.
You're getting them to experience. I can't help but think about Romans 1:20, where it talks about God's existence literally being shouted through what has been created.
Yeah.
And you're teaching kids how to appreciate that and to look at that. Whereas I would imagine that many of these young people that you've dealt with haven't gone on a picnic, haven't gone out into the woods to have a cookout, or you know what I'm saying? I mean, and I don't think that that's a cultural thing. I think that's a, boy, you're fighting for your life every day, and maybe you haven't experienced this before. So I love the family, John, that you're creating and have created with LifeQuest USA. You obviously have a wonderful board of directors. I thought what we would do here for the rest of the first segment is share with us again about you, John, and why and how you were called here. But you've met this young man who's recently retired from the United States military.
The Marine Corps, yes, sir.
Thank you for your service,
sir. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
And now he wants to work with children and raise them up in a faith in Christ. I find that to be your leadership style, John, is to not leave. You've got other things you're doing. You're staying on board with LifeQuest, but Chance here is going to become the president here as we get into the month of June.
July. Yes, sir.
And I'm just amazed to see what's happening. So, John, tell us again about you. I mean, again, I want people that are listening, I want them, maybe they're not part of a family. When you hear the testimony of John Jones, you're going to start to maybe feel more included than you might feel right now.
April 1st was my 11-year anniversary at LifeQuest. I came here, and the way I describe it, I came here kicking and screaming. One of our board members, I play in a golf tournament with him every year in Pine Top, Arizona. And we were sitting down after playing golf one day, and he asked me the question, and he said, "So, John, are you a pastor?" And I'm like, "Yeah, kinda." And he said, "What's that mean?" So I told him what I was doing. He said, "Oh, you work for a Christian nonprofit." I said, "That's correct." He said, "I'm on the board of a Christian nonprofit." And I said, "Really, what do you do?" And so he told me all about LifeQuest. And I said, "Oh, man, I spent my first 10 years in ministry with Youth for Christ. I love working with kids." And he said, "What'd you do there?" And I said, "Well, my first 2 years were as development director. My next 8 were as executive director." He said, "We had a teen moms program. We had a juvenile justice ministry. We had Campus Life JV." And he said, "Huh, we're going to need an executive director." And I said, "Well, good luck with that. That's a hard position to fill. You need some ministry. You need some business." Didn't think about it. Went home. 2 weeks later, I get an email saying, "Hey, would you be willing to submit your testimony and your resume?" Well, twist my arm, make me share my testimony with you, right? So I went ahead and sent it to him. Didn't think anything about it. 2 weeks later, Justin Marbury, who was a pastor on staff here at Calvary, but was also the acting director for LifeQuest at the time, called me. We spent 2 hours on the phone together, and I'm giving him all the reasons I couldn't possibly take this position, and hung up and thought, "Wow, this is getting serious. Maybe I should start praying about this," and wrestled with God for a couple of weeks, which I never recommend, by the way. But I was always taught in my prayers with, "But thy will, not mine, be done." And it became apparent very quickly that this was where God was leading me. So came out, and we were doing Bible studies in juvenile justice facilities and mentoring a couple of kids. And so we just kind of made some organizational changes and got a little more, I don't even know what the right word is, processes in place. Mm-hmm. And we've grown from there to, gosh, we're in the juvenile justice facilities. We're continuing to do Bible studies, but we also do character development classes. We do GED tutoring. We're bringing a group from Straight Ahead Ministries in Boston in June, the end of June, for our, I think, fifth year, to do a three-day seminar called Ready for Life.
Amazing.
It's just an awesome time with the youth. But everything we do is with one sole purpose in mind, and that's to have a mentoring relationship built between one of our staff or volunteers and one of our youth. Because we very much believe in life-on-life ministry.
Mm-hmm. So, John, let me pick up on, say, just one of the many things you just mentioned, GED tutoring.
Sure.
A large percentage of people that become, commit crimes.
Right.
Have dropped out of school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what you're going to do is you're going to help these children, and they may not be children. They might have dropped out of school a couple years earlier.
They could be 19 years old, 20 years old.
Okay, and you're going to help them get a high school diploma.
Correct.
So a lot of people listening right now may think, oh, well, that's not very spiritual. Pretty spiritual, isn't it?
Oh, golly.
Because you're meeting a need, and you're helping them so that they can provide for their families and maybe even have a sense of self-worth that they may not have had earlier.
Sure.
And that's how God changes their lives.
Well, I very much believe in what it says in James, that faith without works is dead. Mm. So to say, oh, you don't have your college degree and you want to get it, good luck. You don't have your high school diploma, good luck.
Right.
No, we've got to try to fill that need, because if we don't, somebody else is going to. Mm-hmm. And that somebody else may not be a Christian, mm-hmm. who's going to share the love of Jesus, both in action and in word, with these young people. Mm. So those relationships hopefully become lifelong relationships.
100%.
Not when the kid walks out the door of the facility, we're not done with them.
Yes.
We want to keep walking with them. We want to keep loving on them. We want to keep pointing them to Jesus, just as someone did for us mm-hmm. one day.
One of the things that's kind of a little catchphrase, I guess you'd say, but it's like all the things we do are a bridge to a conversation that hopefully leads to the cross. Mm. And so, you know, feeling a need, whether it be GED tutoring or just one-on-one mentoring, all those things. Because how selfish am I to have this thing that we call faith in Jesus who's changed everything in my life, and I just keep it all for myself, mm. right? So everything leads to that, whether GED tutoring, and you always get the questions, why? Well, why is this important to me? Well, it's a good question, right? It's just, let's meet the need, let's meet the metric, and in the midst of those conversations as we're trying to do it, we get to share Christ.
Chance, I've had some people, though, tell me, why do you feel compelled mm-hmm. to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody?
Yeah.
Why do you feel that?
I guess that, because we're supposed to, first off, go forth and make disciples, but I have this, like the greatest thing in my life, everything good in my life comes from that. Mm. Without my faith in Christ, I don't have a family. I'm not a good father. I don't treat my wife the best, right? So without faith, it's just me. And sometimes I'm not strong enough to carry all of it. And so if I have this thing that is freely given to me and I just keep it for me, that's pretty selfish. And that's the way I see it. And it's, do I feel compelled to share Christ with people? I don't know how you do life without doing that.
I will tell you, I ask you that really intentionally. Again, having had the life celebration for Chip Lusko, Jesse Lusko, his son, who is a pastor of Counterculture Church in Portland, Oregon, I asked him this question probably 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. while he was on staff here at Calvary Albuquerque. I said, what compels you?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, almost what you said, mm-hmm. in terms of we're supposed to. That's what the word tells us to do. But he said, I would tell you in my life, I can't not tell people about Jesus.
There you go. Absolutely.
I can't not do it.
I don't know how you live life without.
Well, how can you talk about your own life without talking about Jesus? And if you're not talking about Jesus with other people, I don't think you're close enough to Jesus. I mean, Paul talked about that it burned within him.
Yes.
And how in the world can I share my story, share my life with someone, whether past, present, or future, without talking about Jesus? Mm-hmm. That's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other thing is, like, even in our actions, we're sharing Jesus.
Yes.
Especially when we go in the facility, they don't know what a father looks like, most of them. And that's not a reality. We've had the conversations with most of these guys. And I more is caught than taught. So, like, the more I show them Christ, even when I'm not saying anything, I'm telling them about Christ because they know who I am and they know what I believe and what's the most important thing in my life, and how I act and treat them shares the gospel as well.
I love it. We're in studio with John Jones and Chance Butts. They are both with LifeQuest USA in Albuquerque. Their website is lifequestusa.org. Their phone number is 505-341-9383. They've graciously agreed to be on the air with us till 2:00. But I also, in the same breath, want you to know that we can't cover everything we need to talk about. John and I were just joking around. This is the first time I've met Chance. I actually met him. I kind of messed him up. They were supposed to be on the show a couple weeks ago, and we won't go into Jim Williams' flaws because there's too many to list. But long story short is they were gracious and came back today, and I'm so glad they did. But John and I were joking that we could talk for hours upon hours, much less fill another 45 minutes on ABQ Connect. And mm-hmm. the reason we can is because we have similar hearts. I want you to know a little bit more about these men. I want you to know more about the ministry. And I'd love for you to go online at LifeQuest USA and look at some of the things, lifequestusa.org, while we're talking, because I'm hoping that maybe you are a relative of a young person that could benefit from this program. Maybe you are a person that has financial means to help. Maybe you're a person that would volunteer and you might want to invest your life
yes.
into some kids, that this would definitely help their families, be life-changing, be a generational change. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I'm going to ask John about generational things that happen with families that are involved in crime and things, and how Jesus can change that. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages. Jim Williams with you today on ABQ Connect. Jared, thanks for taking the reins today. Appreciate you being behind the microphones here, keeping us on the air. I'm with John Jones and Chance Butts. They are both with LifeQuest USA in Albuquerque. They try to keep kids out of prison. They work with incarcerated youth, and that is a big calling and a big job. As you're listening today, you might want to go to lifequestusa.org and just check out the website while we're talking. Here's where I want to go in this. John, when you were talking earlier about how you came to be the president of mm-hmm. LifeQuest, I didn't say, well, John, share with us some of your resume of experience. Because what's so funny about this, and we've talked about this before, is none of us leave perfect lives.
No.
But when you hear about some of the things that both of these people have been through that are standing before me now or sitting before me now, you're going to find out about things that some of us would have shame about. But they have trusted God with their stories, and now His glory is evident, and He's completely changed their lives. John, I just thought it might be good to share one thing, because there may be somebody that's hearing now that may have already disqualified themselves because of their past.
Sure.
And I know you won't allow that.
No. I grew up in what I thought was a normal family, two parents, brother, sister. But I was the kid that never felt like they belonged. Hmm. No matter where I was, I didn't feel like I belonged there. Found out when I hit my 13, 14-year-old years, I had liked to party. I liked to feel different. So drugs, alcohol, but never really suffered consequences. Got a scholarship to play football in college, went off to college, and got out. And what was important in my family was you are what you earn. Mm. And by 29 years old, I'm vice president of a real estate development company in Phoenix. And never forget this. Got my tax statement that year and looked at it and went, yeah, I had arrived. And I had this overwhelmingly empty feeling inside. Mm. I was doing all the right things I was supposed to do. I was driving the BMW. I'm staying in the nicest hotels. I'm eating at the best restaurants. I'm doing everything I've been told to do to be happy, and I'm not happy. Lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I meet cocaine. I'm introduced to it at a party. And even though I'd partied all my life, that was one of the – I swore I'd never do cocaine or heroin. I wasn't going down those roads. But I got to tell you, the first line of cocaine I snorted, literally, I said these words, I found God. Because the shame, the pain, the guilt all went away for a few minutes. But then 30 minutes later, when it wears off, it comes roaring back. And you're like, no, this is not okay.
So, and roaring is a something you're going to emphasize. I mean, it comes back at you. So don't be deceived if you're listening today about that euphoria that you feel for those seconds or minutes.
Look, I have made the statement because I survived a 10-year cocaine addiction. And I wasn't a casual user. I was an everyday.
By the way, that's not cheap.
Well, it wasn't cheap back then either. But that's what was crazy. I was making enough money to support my habit for years. Mm. And then finally burnt a hole in my sinus cavity from doing so much cocaine and turned to smoking it. And my $300 a day habit became $500, $600, $800 a day. Mm. And at that point, it didn't matter if it was my money or your money. Mm. And that led me down the road to getting to spend some time in lovely Cook County Jail in Chicago. Beautiful place. And eventually to a suicide attempt on June 9th of 1994. Mm. And obviously, I couldn't even do that right. So June 10th, 1994, I walked into a recovery group, asked a guy to help me. He took me through the 12-step program, pointed me to God constantly, loved me enough to hurt my feelings, said things like, so John, your best thinking got you here. How's that working for you?
Yeah.
Ouch. But the bottom line is this.
You're really saying that to our audience now, aren't you?
Absolutely.
How's your thinking working out for you?
Oh, golly.
Well, yeah. And here's the bottom line. I walked in expecting them to lift me up and help me. Mm. He took me further down because he knew I needed to be at the place where I was desperate. And that's how I came to God. I've got a friend who says, God gave me the gift of desperation. So when I started seeking God, my first prayer, Jim, went something like this. And I only prayed because I was told I had to. I got on my knees beside my bed because that's how he told me to pray. And I looked at the ceiling and said, this seems really stupid. I don't even know if I believe in you.
Very spiritual person.
But here I am. If you're real, help. And that seemed to be good enough to start the process. But that led me to, I kept being told, seek God, seek God, seek God. What's that mean? What's that look like? How do I do that? So anyway, I'll end this part of my story with this. So I was sitting having coffee. This gentleman's name was Barry. I was sitting having coffee with Barry one night, and I looked at him and I said, what do you want from me? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, you give up time with your wife and kids like tonight to sit here and have coffee with me. You take my calls at all hours of the day and night. Mm. And he did. I mean, 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. Mm. I said, you gave up money. You left work to go to court with me. Nobody does something for nothing. What do you want from me? And he kind of smiled and said, you know, John, there is something I want from you. And I thought, I knew it. Here it comes. He said, I want you to do this for somebody else someday. I want you to freely give away what you've been freely given. And I was like, wow. But I've never forgotten those words. Yeah. Because isn't that the perfect description of the gospel?
Yes.
To freely give away what I've been freely given?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So anyway, that's that. Yeah, that's the old. That's, and it's so funny when I meet with kids. They always tell me, they're like, sorry, Mr. John, but you don't look like no drug addict.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And I'm like, is that because I'm old or I'm white? And they're like, uh-huh.
Yeah,
and,
both.
But I will also tell you, my past has become my greatest tool mm-hmm. to build bridges with others.
John, are there people maybe even coming from wealthy families?
Oh, absolutely.
That right now are listening and may have already developed some of the habits that you're talking about.
100%.
Would it be your heart to say, stop today, depend on Jesus and change your life and let your whatever you have done to this point become part of your testimony and change yours and other people's lives?
The first thing I'd say is, and we hate this part, you can't do it by yourself.
Mm. How many times have you tried?
Yeah, we have a saying in LifeQuest, doing together what I can't do alone. Mm-hmm. And so if there is that person listening right now, call the number on the website. Talk with Chance or I. We'd love to come anywhere. Sit down, have a cup of coffee with you, just chat with you. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you.
No expectations.
We've been there and done that. We just want to get to know you because those relationships changed my life. And I think Chance would tell you the same thing.
100%.
We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and hear the same testimony or a testimony from Chance. Yeah. He's got an interesting story. When you tell me that you're a former Marine,
no such thing.
I see this. You are a Marine. You're a retired Marine.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
There you go. But I'm seeing you in your dress, uniform, prim and proper. But you've already told me very briefly when we were not on the air that prim and proper is probably not a big part of your story.
Not much.
And so I want people to know you as well. So John Jones and Chance Butts are part of LifeQuest USA. John is currently the president. He's going to be stepping down as the president, and Chance is going to be taking over July 1. John's going to stay as part of the ministry and be doing some other things in other countries around the world, and we'll hear a little bit about that too later on in the program. So I hope you'll stay with us. Hope you'll be encouraged that you can change your life. But don't try to do it by yourself.
There you go.
And we've already talked about that, and we'll have that reiterated many, many more times. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us. Jim Williams with you here on ABQ Connect with John Jones and Chance Butts. They are with LifeQuest USA. As you are listening to the show today, please go to the website. It's lifequestusa.org. And the phone number that both of these gentlemen referred to in the previous segment is 505-341-9383. All kinds of scenarios here. You might be listening because you're a grandparent of a child that may be struggling. You may know somebody that's incarcerated that's under 18 years old. You may have all kinds of other perspectives. LifeQuest USA is there to help you and help the people that you're talking with and trying to love. And they're going to talk to them about Jesus and a relationship. But before they do that, and Chance, I'm going to point my fingers now at you. You guys seem to me to be willing to make an investment in people way before they ever tell you they have faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Of course, have to.
Well, it's interesting because I want you to know a little bit about my history.
Okay.
So I was trained at one point in my Christianity to take the four spiritual laws tract, walk up to somebody, put it in their face, kind of be enthusiastic and really kind until they told you they weren't interested, and then I just walk away and go to the next one. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't loving people into the kingdom. Now, I do know there's gifted individuals that were able to do that and bring people to Christ, but I think as part of that giftedness, they were able to communicate, look, I love you no matter what you're going to tell me. That I wasn't communicating. Mm-hmm. You guys are doing that.
And almost anyone that we talk to, from incarcerated youth to our proactive approach, these kids, they can sense someone who's genuine within like 10 seconds of talking to you. And so if it's, I want you to do what I want you to do, you lose them like instantly. But if it's, I want to meet you where you are, and guess what? there's nothing you can tell me that would make me love you less. I know it's hard, but it's okay. We'll do this together.
Would a young person ever say something to shock you like, I can't come to life. I can't come to LifeQuest because I'm dealing drugs.
Sure.
Would they say something like that to you?
Not even that. Yes, but we had a volunteer. He actually was on staff. But he was in the facility, and the guy told him, you know, I did this and that. And you know, he was looking at him, the guy on staff said, well, how old was the guy that you hurt? And he said, it's your age. Intimidation, right?
Yeah, so, sure.
You know what? He kept on, built a relationship with that young man. And so it's okay. Like, because what we know and what we believe, and I've seen this so many times in my life, is it doesn't matter what they say, because I have the full armor of Christ, but I also had his word. So I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say and all these things. I just keep pointing them to an interaction with Christ.
I think people that are not believers in Jesus, though, have this perspective that people that are involved in ministry, mm-hmm. like Chance, like John, they have a perception that you guys live perfect lives.
Oh, golly, no.
Tell me about your life, Chance.
Just to be honest, the first memory I have is my father threatening to bash my mother with a frying pan because she was trying to leave him. Very violent man. I was born at set when my mom was very young. From domestic abuse shelters to my mom married another guy. He was abusive as well because, you know, she's been put into a situation where she thinks that's all there is. And so at age 12, I got tired of being beat on and to my two sisters, both younger than me. And so I took a shot at the guy at 12 years old. I missed, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I did get locked up with assault with a deadly weapon. And so I spent 3 years incarcerated for that. But I also was able to tell my story to those who could change. And my sisters were removed from the home, went to foster homes. One sister has a whole different last name. And even in that, as I was being released from incarceration, they would try to place me with a foster home, and I would run away to try to get back to my sisters because I want to save my sisters and all these things. But I didn't know any other thing, right? All I knew was you get punched, you punch back. I didn't know any other thing. And so, so locked up for 3 years, moving with my grandparents, and well, then they separate us again, me and my sisters. And heck of a thing. My senior year of high school, my biological father, who had been in prison twice for meth, invites me to spend my senior year in high school with him. And I don't know him, but I'm hopeful maybe he'll be okay. And he's not. I spend that entire year going to seedy apartment complexes, trying to find him. I see his truck in the thing, and I'm just sitting hoping he comes out. And that ended with an altercation, that violent altercation, and we leave. And now my grandparents, I don't want to stay with them, and so I still don't stay with my dad. So I'm kind of bouncing from couch to couch, and then I find this wonderful thing called marijuana, which leads me down the road to cocaine and alcohol and all these other things. And, you know, for a couple of years, homeless, walking around, sleeping on couches when I can, and not a very good existence. But the one thing, and I know of Christ, but I don't know Christ enough to employ him in my life, right? To seek him and to listen when he talks. But I know there's something there. And I think it's such a blessing that my girlfriend, wife now, she's in college and she's doing all the right things. And she would come and try to find me, try to spend time with me. And I was always running the street and doing whatever I could do. And she's about to graduate college, and she tells me, I'm going to move on with my life, and I'd like you to be a part of it. But I'm moving on regardless. Uh-oh. Well, I actually do love this woman very much. And so, 22 years old, I try to join the Marine Corps. And I can't pass the year analysis a couple times. And finally, I do, and I get a date, and I ship off to boot camp in 2006. we get married in December of 2006, once I completed boot camp. And then we go to Iraq and we do all the, you know, all the hard things that come with being in the military. And but I always had my wife. And even when I was, like, I knew God, and my wife was taking, like, when we had my first, my son, Hunter, when my wife would take him to church, I wouldn't go because I felt like a hypocrite. Like, I'm going to say, I'm going to use the language of the military on Monday, but I'm not going to, I don't want to go to church on Sunday if I know I'm going to do that on Monday, because I had to meet some sort of metric. It was just the enemy. And then finally,
I want listeners that may not know who the enemy is.
Oh, yes.
I actually like the word enemy because I don't want to call Satan by his name. Mm-mm. But there is spiritual warfare going on, even if you don't acknowledge it.
And it's not just a spiritual warfare as in, like, he doesn't want the best for you. He wants to kill you.
Yes.
Every single person that you know, love, and care about. Your future, your kids' future, everything. He wants to take it all from you. Because then he can look at God and say, look what I've done to the thing you love.
I want people to understand, though, that a lot of times people build up the enemy. I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy can't hold a candle to God himself and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The power is with God, not with the enemy.
Right, but we give him power. Mm. Like he'll whisper, just like he did to Eve. Are you sure?
Yeah.
And then we give him the power. But, you know, even my dad, like I'm living in Japan at the time, and because my dad kept doing the same things, and someone ended up killing him with a baseball bat. And so I flew back to Iowa and I had to spend all this time. What do we do? Because, you know, he had, traumatic brain injury and never recovered what the doctors are saying, right? This is it. And so, and I don't accept it and I'm fighting it. And then my grandparents are there. And then I go into the middle of this hospital, I'll never forget it, Des Moines, Iowa. And in the center of it, there's a piano and you can see all the way up and there's a guy playing. And I just sit down. I don't know what to do. This is my father. I have to make a decision. Do I keep him on life support or do I not? I don't want to kill my dad. Mm. That's the way I'm seeing it. And again, that's the enemy. That's not true. And this, in the midst of this turmoil, I feel this peace come over me that says, what better place could he be? Let him come home. Whoa. Okay. How do you have peace in the middle of that? I don't think that that's a coincidence. I think that was God speaking directly to me. And I don't know. From that moment.
That's what the peace that the Bible describes beyond our understanding.
There we go. And then all the other things started, you know, God's just continually working through, helping me to heal over and over. And knowing where I come from, golly, how can I not, or how can I judge anyone else? If God can save me, he can save anyone.
And I want people listening to understand, two men have been there and done that. This is not a person with one cultural experience coming to share with someone who's incarcerated that may have lived a totally different life. Incarceration is incarceration.
There we go. Yeah.
And both men have lived it, have been there, understand it, have studied, and above all of that, are willing to share their stories with you in order that you might find hope in Jesus Christ. We've got another segment, 15 minutes left. I always apologize that I can't spend more time with you, John, but we'll spend as much quality out of the next 15 as we possibly can, and I know the Lord will honor that. We'll be back on ABQ Connect with John Jones and Chance Butts right after these messages. John Jones, the president and CEO of LifeQuest USA in Albuquerque, he is going to be stepping down from that position as of the end of June. Chance Butts is taking over as president and CEO, and we're just so glad to have him here in studio, both men, with us today. John's going to continue on in a ministry role with LifeQuest USA, where he's been for 10, 11 years, John?
11 years now.
11 years. John, if I know something's going on wrong with my life, why can't I take care of it by myself?
Well, as I was told years ago, you can't fix a sick mind with a sick mind.
that same mind that brought you to this place, how in the world can that change what you're doing? Besides that, it's not God's design. God's design is for us to do things together. Mm. So I don't know where I'd be today if I hadn't had someone walking beside me the last 30 years. And I mean, that's from the beginning before I knew Christ to first coming to Christ to now almost 30 years later. Mm-hmm. So, and why? Why would you want to do it alone?
Well, we've talked about both of your backgrounds. And you, as I mentioned before, you're literally, like it talks about Christ, you despise the shame. And in other words, there is no shame now in you sharing your stories. God is doing miraculous things in this ministry and other places through both of you. But there are people that have stories that are the way life maybe was designed, and they may be hesitant to volunteer because of that. But you need those people to volunteer just as well, don't you?
Absolutely. God uses, if you have a desire to serve, God's going to use everything you have to be able to serve these young people. And I promise you, because which of us haven't struggled with loneliness, fear, shame, pain, guilt?
Whatever.
I don't care where you've come from. You've experienced some of those things in your life. And you can connect with kids in those places.
When you started the 413 Project now a couple years ago, we were talking about Chris Youngblood, who's one of your board members. You know, he's an avid cyclist and all this kind of stuff. And John, I've always perceived you and me as the grandfathers of the situation. We're going to watch everybody else hike the Grand Canyon.
Absolutely. I fell the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. You fell the Grand Canyon?
I did. I got about a mile down and fell. But it was great.
You're using that as one. I mean, you're doing some training. Chance, talk a little bit. I did want to say, John, you've recruited a young man. Now a retired United States Marine who I think can handle a hike.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Done it twice.
Yeah, he's done the full hike twice.
My 8-year-old daughter did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for making John and I feel so good about that.
Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Hey,
tell me how that develops relationships and how it changes people's lives.
Well, one, it's a captive audience. Like we got 12 hours, 18 miles of nothing to do but walk. Mm. And golly, there's God's beauty on display.
This is not flat walking,
though. No, it's at 5,000 feet down. So 10,000 feet in elevation change, like 18 miles. I mean, most of it's down. But as you're coming back up, it's, you know, 4 miles of stairs, just stairs up. And oh, golly, that's after the first 14 miles, you know, so it gets a little rough.
And I know that I don't know many people in life, period. You name their ethnicity, you name their age, that have gone to the Grand Canyon and done that much hiking. But it's got to be a spectacular experience.
Well, I mean, the concept and the reason why, you know, we have God's beauty on display. We've worked with these kids for a while. We've built relationship. One more step. Like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? And it's these, you know, if life kicks you in the teeth later, which it's going to, you've done something hard now. If I did it then, I can do it now. If I had faith then, I can have faith now. If I could take one more step then, I can take one more step now.
I love that. John, you've got kids that are coming to Christ pretty regularly now. I see posts on Facebook. Do those kids get excited about maybe doing ministry after you lead them to Christ?
Some do, and I think that... I know Chance and I have talked about seeing what the future looks like for LifeQuest. My student leadership team at Youth for Christ, we had over 40 kids go into full-time ministry. I can see the same thing happening with LifeQuest, because the whole thing is, once you come to Christ, if you don't give away what you've been given, it's not that you lose it.
But you might be given that away at your workplace.
You might be.
Not that you're called necessarily to be
absolutely
a CEO or a president of a ministry, but you might be called to be an engineer like Chris Youngblood.
Absolutely.
But you're meeting with kids and taking them on hikes and sharing a love that you have and a passion that you have, and I think Chance is a young guy that's
got some of those similar passions and want your kids to be involved in that. And it's neat that you're bringing your kids along with the people that you're trying to help and change. 100%. And I want to ask this. How have the kids that you're supposed to be helping actually helped you?
Oh, golly. Great, John.
You can't outgive God. I mean, it. Anytime I sit down and hear an insanity is probably the proper word. I hear the insanity of the young people's lives we're working with. Every time it reminds me of where I've come from.
Oh, golly, yes.
That that, and that I'm not there anymore, and the gratitude to
Thank
God
you,
of where He's brought me, because it's easy to forget where you've come from if you're not in a position to have constantly be hearing where you've come from.
Right.
And that's the best thing, because it will keep you grateful. It will keep you humble. It will keep you in a place. Besides that, there's nothing better. I mean, Jim, I've been doing this for almost 30 years now. I know guys that I've got to be a part of their journey that are wonderful husbands and wonderful fathers, and get to see that breaking of the chain of dysfunctionality in their family.
Sure.
And
even that, like we were talking about earlier, like changing everything for generations. And
yes.
You know, I shared with you before we got on air, like my parents gave me up, but when I was late 20s, I started calling my mom, reconciling, found a way to lead her to Christ, tell her about the faith I found. And then I just retired from the military on Friday last week. On Sunday was the first time ever in my entire life I've got to worship God with my mom.
I love it.
Reconciliation, restoration.
Yeah, what a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
And I would say this, no time wasted. Because she came to faith in Christ.
There we go.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing stuff. If you're interested in being a part of LifeQuest USA, go to their website at lifequestusa.org. The new CEO and president starting in June is Chance Butts. John Jones is stepping down from that position, but going to be continuing with the ministry. And I hope you'll both consider being on the air with us with ABQ Connect. Always uplifting, always encouraging. And I know our listeners are blessed as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Come play in our golf tournament June 3rd.
June 3rd. Yep.